Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This
is... Who are you having to go at here?
...is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
For BWS. Go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Triple M rocks footy.
The suffering of West Coast fans finally get what they need. A win on the board and a rising star nod to Harley Reid. For the second week in a row... Freo leave Adelaide with a close loss to Roo, while Tex and Isaac Rankin destroyed the perfect start for the season for the Blues. Noah Answorth went the crying sledge, Jake Stringer and the Bombers showed their edge, and the Chief is officially alleged. To dissect round five and have a look towards a bumper round six, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with two-time St Kilda All-Australian Lee Montagne.
Hello, Rabsy. Nice to be here. Looking forward to another good show.
The sharpest-dressed man on Channel 7's footy coverage, just look at his Instagram page, Daisy Thomas.
Present.
And the AFL Media's head on show, Damien Barrett.
Good morning to the three of you.
I was having a laugh this morning on my morning walk. Remember when you used to do the roll call at school?
Yep.
And you had to say present or here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Damon, we did mention off the top, Chief. He is officially, well, will be officially made a legend in June at the AFL Hall of Fame.
Mm. I like what they've done with this. They often just wait until the night itself and then you find out. And there's an embargo attached to it, to which whoever media outlets want the advanced information so they can prepare for their presentations. But it's a nice couple of month runway now for the Chief. And I can't, I mean, we give all sorts of grief to the Chief, don't we, on Triple M? And particularly on the Friday night huddle, and he goes along with it beautifully. But it's so good, I feel, to be able to then do it seriously and celebrate someone who was guaranteed to end up as this status, but someone who doesn't, as much as there's no predator in Chief's life, he doesn't like talking about himself in these glowing ways. So we're going to get some fun out of that as well, but it's hard to, I mean, there's not one person who knows the game who could have an issue with Chief being elevated as the 32nd legend.
No, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's well-deserved, as you said. Some of the numbers are phenomenal. What he was able to do, what he put up week in, week out. And I love the fact that he was, you know, talking about trying to get an edge on a Tony Lockett, and you go and see you've kicked 13, and then you see that he's kicked 14 of his side's 15. It was all good stuff, and well done to the Chief. We love him. You're right. He's very, very modest, which is kind of untrue.
We don't like that about him.
Which will make it fun, won't it, Damo? We'll give him all the niceties and do all that, but then for the next 3 months until the Hall of Fame, you can just hang it on him, and he'll hate it because he hates any talk about himself.
Talking about him in a glowing light in person, he'll get awkward and he won't really like it, so I'm looking forward to Friday night will be a must.
There's already an issue too for him on the Friday huddle component because we've discovered it's his 60th birthday coming up as well. So even before the legend status has been bestowed upon him, we're doing a rolling sequence of segments, including having one of his teammates, John Kennedy, last week, who absolutely strafed him in a very friendly, old-fashioned teammate way. So, yeah, but it is. I'm rapt for him. I'm absolutely rapt for him.
You spoke about some of his records, Daisy. You just had a look then in his 1992 season. So he opened the season with 12 in round one.
Good
he
start.
Kicked 9 in round 6. Then in round 7, he kicked 17. That was the famous game. Got busy against Richmond. And then he kicked another 9 round 16. And then finished the season rounds 20 and 22 with a 12 and a 12. 145 goals for the year. Didn't win the Brownlow. Runner-up that year, I think.
And then the next year, Joey, so there were on six occasions he kicked 100 goals. And just absorb that. Like, you can say it. Six times in a season he kicked 100 goals. So it's an incredible stat. But then there was one year, 1993, where he kicked 100 and I think it was 23. Did not make All-Australian because both Modra and Ablett that particular year with 124 and 129, and I can see why the selectors went with that.
Yeah, only kicked one bag of 10.
But he kicked 123 and didn't make All-Australian.
Only once did he kick 10 or more that year. That was a poor year for Chief.
He's still got presence. When he enters a room.
And he's the smartest man I know, Damo. Like, I'm working with him Thursday nights now, and he's great coming.
He's got everyone covered.
He knows everything about everything.
Yeah.
Real music.
And if he does, he just
blocks
his way through anyway.
Yeah.
Just for reference, so the Chief would have beaten everybody except Geelong on the weekend by himself. 17 goals.
Yeah.
Geelong kicked with the only side that kicked more with 21.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Hey, we need to get through this show quickly too because I couldn't find anywhere to park. So I parked in.
You did.
Not pet stock.
Which
pet
one
stock.
Is it? We
pet
got
stock.
It wrong.
Pet stock.
Yeah, I've just
so
parked
you,
in
you
there.
Rolled the dice.
I rolled the dice.
So are you going to wuss out and go and actually buy something?
If I have a letter on my car.
Only if you have a letter.
I'll then go and have a receipt to say that I bought something from there.
I've still got the sticky tape on my windscreen that I can't get off. So this is going to become a real issue.
Use some turpentine.
Okay.
Hey, this time last week you told us you were 2 days into an abstinence from alcohol.
Yep, 75.
Are you now 9 days in?
I am going rather strong, thank you, Damien. Nice. 75 hard is the challenge that I'm having a go at the moment, and it's going very well. You know what I've found? I enjoy reading now. This is something that part of it is you're meant to read 30 days for 30 for 75.
Oh, no. Can't talk. Days. You can read, yeah.
30 pages of a book, yeah.
30 pages in 75 days.
No, per day. Yeah. That's why I'm enjoying it. A sentence a day. But I discovered this on the honeymoon with Tash because I was reading a book and she was at page 100. We were sitting by the pool and I was at 20. She's sitting there going, How are you so slow? And she goes, say it to me how you're reading it. And I'd be like, Johnny and Betty went for a walk this afternoon. She goes, no, you're not presenting it. Just bloody read the line. So since then, thoroughly enjoying reading.
Okay. You want to discover other aspects of life as these 75 days unfolds.
Like what, Damien?
So other
outside
good things
of going to the pub and having a good time.
We're going to be pretty boring life for 75 days.
I'll be the judge of that. I'll see at the end of it how it feels to be you for 75 days, and then you can maybe live like me for 75.
There's a huge round five.
I wouldn't keep up with you, mate.
That kicks off tomorrow night. We'll get your predictions later on, plus Fenwick and more Fugazi. But up next, Damien, let's get some news from you, and we'll start with Charlie Cameron. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo, all thanks to BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's Refreshingly BWS.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo for BWS.
Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's Refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
A bumper round five kicks off with St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs tomorrow night. We'll get your predictions very soon, but right now it is time for Damo's news, and we'll start with Charlie Cameron, who is free to play against the Cats this weekend.
Extraordinarily free, given it was a character reference which got him off the tribunal hearing. There's so many layers to this. I'll just unload and download my views before I get your guys' also opinions on it. But we're referencing in this tribunal hearing weight, which I didn't think we were allowed to do, Days. The AFL itself has banned it, the publication of weight in the year season guides, but we had a reference to Lever being 95 kgs and Cameron being 74. We then got another layer of grading the charge, Joey. Careless but not grossly careless. Yeah. So on top of all the gradings they've already got, there's a careless but not grossly careless. Okay, I'll work my head around that. You've then got Eddie Betts and Gregory Egert giving character reference. I thought that had nothing to do with any incident on the ground, but we factored that in as well. And then you say that he's got an exemplary record, 200 plus games and no suspensions, but there's 200 plus games with five fines and three fines relating directly to the type of incident that we've got. I could keep going, Days, but it's probably time for you and Joey to also give your views.
Well,
that's a balls up.
It's the tribunal. What you just honestly don't know. It's to bring in the weight thing, which I think would have been a valid option to go down, although we don't talk about weight in the record, but there's a reason why Jake Lever, once you start pulling him down, goes down. He obviously, I reckon, went limp as well and tried to make their head look worse. So I've got no issue with that. But the other stuff, how do you go, like, just because you haven't been suspended, and well done for Charlie for doing all the community work that he does, brilliant. But how you can use that to get off a tackling charge has got me stuffed.
Question for you. So they talk about the weight difference, but Charlie Curnow was a little ball of muscle. If Charlie Curnow and Jake Lever were in a...
Charlie Cameron.
Sorry, Charlie Cameron, apologies. If they were in a UFC ring, who would you be backing would be able to nail the other one? I would back Charlie Cameron. He's a little ball of muscle. Like, he probably's got the strength and the wariness, but that's not it.
Well, we're told not to factor weight in, even in the days when we were allowed to refer to weight, because it's a game of footy, and when you're out there, it's fair game. And we've always been told that the size doesn't matter, but yet it did last night.
But if we think that the size doesn't matter and people don't matter, Toby Green tax is real, 100%, and over the past few years, don't worry about that. Scotty Pendlebury, and I've spoken about, he went the open hand to the gut. If Toby Green did that, there's a weak minimum attached to that. Does the record come into it? It shouldn't be. It should be case by case.
So, Damo, where do you think it goes? Does this open a can of worms for future, or do you think they will look back and say, oh, that was a mistake what the tribunal did, factoring in his off-field record, his off-field, you know, work that he does and all these other things? And they'll say, no, that was more of a mistake last night's decision, as opposed to opening a can of worms for future tribunal cases.
I find it's the former, Joey. Yeah, I think they're very good at telling us, no, that's not the decision, but it's under their watch. And you probably are sick of me. I know other people are. I bang on about this. Why have we got a tribunal?
I agree.
We've got an AFL football department.
We need a better system.
Own the decision. Completely. And why are we having a tribunal hearing on a Tuesday when the incident was Thursday?
Oh, yes,
I mean, Where's the professionalism?
I agree with that. I think we've got our heads around it. You know, these sort of three part-time sort of volunteers that come and sit on a panel that how many games of footy do they watch? We don't know. How much do they take in it? They just hear the evidence. Yep. But they've all got their own preconceived ideas.
And they're lawyers. I'm raising that because they will look for loopholes as well. Yeah. And they'll be presented loopholes.
Shouldn't
Adrian Anderson's a lawyer. Now, he set up his tribunal system, the match review office into the tribunal system. He's now defending players and finding loopholes in the system he set up. So
will it change, though? Will we get to the point where we go, I think we all agree across the board that it isn't working, though. Even the AFL have to come out and go, yes, we got this one wrong. Or
we need to appeal our own tribunal. Yeah. And yeah, it's all.
They've only done that on two occasions that I can recall. Look, it came a day, or the very same day that Nathan Murphy retired from football, medically retired by a panel of experts in the concussion space over what happened to him. Primarily in the grand final last year, and then in another tackling incident in the off-season with one of his teammates, added to the 10 or 9 concussion incidents that have known to have happened to him. So it's the second big-name player. It's the second player who didn't emerge from last year's final series. Angus Brayshaw also didn't emerge from the final series. They have himself medically retired as well. So what do we want to say? And Daze, I agree with you about the mitigation of, I suppose, the tackle on Lever with Lever himself and his own actions and maybe trying to draw something.
Yep.
I agree with that. But ultimately, the MRO decided it was worth a week, and then we've got another AFL body saying it's not. On the same day, Nathan Murphy, if he had his career ended as a young player.
Well, it all has to become better. There's no doubt about that. And the frustration as well, as you say, the fact that you can do something on a Thursday night and have to wait till Tuesday to speak about it. I've got no idea why that happens and that is something. But I do like how Nathan Murphy has gone about it and the way the Collingwood Football Club has handled this. And he spoke to it. He said, we talk a lot about putting the player first and the athlete second. It's just nice to know we're actually living this as a club. And that is something that no doubt the AFL needs to get better off in a broader sense as well, and understanding that, you know, if a player does throw their head, don't worry about the player code of old that if you got a head knock, you wouldn't say. I think you can put your hand up and say, look, I didn't hit the ground there. I was trying to honestly draw a free kick. A bit more of that than, yeah, you know what? Yep, I can see why you said this, but hand on heart, that didn't happen. Yeah. And then that can be the new player code. We can evolve to say, yeah, the honest approach rather than the old-fashioned way of you get belted in the head and you say it never happened just to get them off. You can say, no, my head actually wasn't touched here. This is where I was hit. I don't think a suspension is required.
The new AFLW boss, Damo.
Yeah, a person by the name of Emma Moore becomes the new general manager of AFLW, obviously under the Laura Kane headlining or heading of that AFL football department. It's an interesting appointment. She's a marketing and strategy specialist. She comes from the NAB Bank, amongst other jobs she's had in that marketing and strategy specialisation in her on her CV. And it's an interesting time for the AFLW, given the CBA, which was just struck recently as part of the overall competitions CBA. The players themselves, the AFLW players themselves, want to play more matches, want more exposure. And here we are now. We've got someone who's not necessarily a football expert in the football space as an expert in that position. I'm not against it. I just find it a very interesting appointment that this is what they're now going down the path of, you know, a strategy and marketing specialist in the head position.
Is that not what the AFLW continues to need, though? A strategy going forward and ability to keep promoting the product. No doubt the AFL side of it, there can be positions underneath that as it branches out. But I think in that terms, you know, that's what the AFLW continues to grow, continue to get people through marketing, through the, you know, promoting to the younger generation of female participants, that's where we need to go. So I think on that regard, it's probably a tick.
Makes sense. Probably that the brand and the identity of AFLW is probably as important as what it looks like in regards to the structure and the games and how it all goes about. Because there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing about what it should look like, but to get more eyeballs, which is what they're after, both to go to games and visually, it's got to be they've got to do something about the brand and marketing aspect of it.
There's an admission internally that it has, I'm using this word, it's not their word, stagnated or at least stopped the complete progress. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure now on that particular role and now on Emma Moore. But, yeah, it's an interesting one, an intriguing one. I like it, but let's see how it works. Harley Reid, he certainly breathed life, hasn't he? I think WA footy. There's a derby which we'll preview in a few segments' time. But without West Coast winning last week against Richmond and without him playing a really, really good fortnight of footy in his first season of footy, I don't think there'd be the level of intrigue across the country for this game.
You're a North fan.
I am.
Should North have beaten the Gold Coast Suns late in the season?
I think I'm in a minority, Daze. Because they still were able to then get other AFL assistance, which they got because they didn't get access to the first pick. they'll tell us they're happy with McKercher and others, Joey, that got it.
He's going to be...
Got to let it play out.
To get back to your question, I'll never, ever subscribe to you should lose a game of footy. And I get that's probably different to what you were saying, even at the time, you too. But, and look, Northwood have probably stuffed up Hollywood anyway, because they had Jason Hall-Francis yeah, and he lasted a year. In fact, he wanted to get out of there 6 months in. So anyway, don't get me started.
Anyway, all of a sudden, West Coast have become... No, this seriously, must watch. Yep. You actually have to now tune into a West Coast Eagles game. We would never, ever have said that.
Yeah.
Like, just that towards last year, but you do.
I'm so excited about the derby again. Like the old days, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. And you love the fact that it just seems like it does not bother him one bit.
Nah, I love
he
it.
He just cruises along. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was fun. Oh, yeah, I got the rising star. Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying my footy. It is brilliant. None of the pressure or the weight of that entire state has got to him. Well done to the kid.
Hey, massive game Thursday night. And again, we'll preview this in a few segments' time. St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs. The heat is on the Bulldogs. They've got a 2-3 scoreline, Joey. The wins have come against Gold Coast at a windy Ballarat and West Coast when they were still really, really bad. Not good. And I've written a piece on afl.com.au overnight just referencing the mixed messaging coming out of Luke Beveridge's mouth. And I feel other messaging coming out of the football club. Amit Bains publicly speaking last year in July, we are a top four team in his belief. The contractual situations, Caleb Daniel, Bailey Dale, Jack McRae, either being subbed this year or subbed out or playing in the VFL. And then you've got the weird comments that made by Luke Beveridge last Saturday night.
Yeah.
Friday night.
I'm in a slightly different camp, Damo, because I don't think it's mixed messaging. I think it's pretty clear where they're at. They are trying to evolve their list and their team on the run while still being competitive now, which is it's a balancing act. But it's probably the right thing to do because they've probably realised the group that they've got are not good enough to win them a premiership or to make them a genuine contender. So you've got to continue to evolve on the run.
Even though the CEO says they're a top four team.
That was last year. That was midway through last year where they probably did think that. And then they fell away at the back end of last year.
Talent-wise, though, should they be playing a final this year?
But we know it's more than just talent.
So then if it becomes system, that goes to the coach.
It's not system. It could be effort. I've got these players that have been inconsistent are some of their senior players. And even, Damo, I know it's been used a bit now, the contractual situation of these players. They all signed at the start of 2022 or mid-2022 when they just come off a grand final. So it was all fair enough at the time to sign all those three players. But that's almost 2 years ago. A lot changes in 2 years. A lot evolves in regards to football. He knows the athleticism needs to be there from their list. So he's trying to find the balancing act between, yes, we want to win now, but at the same time, finding your next wave of players. It'd be like what Geelong have been doing for the last 12, 18 months, and they do it really well, but the Cats, you know, are a great club. So I think it's pretty obvious. Everyone has to get their head around. That's what it looks like.
Bailey Dale and Caleb Daniel have not changed the way they play.
No.
The expectation on them now is to play in a different manner. So is that fair to all of a sudden go, well, we've accepted what you don't bring from a point, but we'll overlook it because of the strength you bring to the side. Whereas now, well, you're not defending like you haven't for the last 100 games of your career, but we're going to hang you out to dry on it. We expect better.
But it evolves, doesn't it? Like when you're winning, of course you get away with it. But as soon as you start losing, you need to make change. And I think that's where they're at now. They're not winning as many games as they were, and they've got to make change.
What about Riley Sanders? Subbed out of the game and went bunter on the bench. do we light the passion from the kid and the frustration? Should they not be playing him until he's ready if he's going to continue to be subbed
out? I know he's an 18-year-old and I get all that, but I just reckon you've probably got to be better in that moment.
I don't mind. He'll get a little word. He'll have someone have a word to him if it was disrespectful, which from all reports it may have been disrespectful, but at least I like that he's got that in him, that he's got that fire, that he doesn't want to be subbed and he's angry with his own performance and I like that, but you've got to temper it. I'd rather have a guy, Damo, that you need to temper them.
You'd rather that than
have a guy you need to put a rocket up their butt and say, are you any danger of, you know. Yep. So I would rather that, so I don't mind.
Michael Malthouse's quote might be one of my favourites of the year already. I wouldn't play him next week. Doesn't matter if he's last year's Brownlow medalist. You have got to be part of a team and cop what you cop from a coach. If I was Beveridge, I'd kick his backside so hard, his toenails would curl up.
Does that sound like Mick to you?
That sounds like Mick. Yeah.
You can imagine doing that. Yeah.
Imagine a coach kicking a player up the backside.
You know what? Back in the day, it probably wasn't past him.
Well, the Bulldogs take on St Kilda tomorrow night. We will get your predictions very soon. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo, Fair Dinkum or Fugazi coming up next.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
A massive round six coming up. We will get your predictions soon. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Thanks to BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games days. That's refreshingly BWS.
It certainly is. Lager beer, craft beer, my new favourite, zero elk beer, bubbles, pale ale, brown ale, seltzers, whatever floats your boots, it's available at BWS, Damo.
It is, Daze. Go in store or go online and get your drinks for this week's games. And what's better than stats, Joey, to go along with the game?
Well, you like this one, Damo. Every single St Kilda game this season has been decided by 15 points or less.
Really?
There you go.
Every game?
Every game.
Well, that's a refreshingly BWS stat of the week. Thanks for that, Joey.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's... or...
We did touch on this with your news segment, Damo, but the Dogs have won 7 of their last 18 games. It's time to accept they're not good.
No, it's Fugazi. I feel, and I know we've just had a discussion about this, and Joey put a bit of context around what you've just said there, but I know internally they do feel they're top four, and I know the playing group is of a belief that they're better than 7 of 18 of their past 18 matches. So, no, Fugazi first up there today. Fabsy?
Joey, Port Adelaide has the best midfield mix in the competition.
Oh, man, oh, man. Fugazi, because the best is hard because there are a lot of elite midfield trios in the competition. So they are right up there.
Who's better?
Yeah, who's better?
Who's better? I would still take right now Petrarca, Oliver, Viney.
That's a good answer.
And on the weekend, to be fair, Brayshaw, Young, Sarong had the better of that midfield trio, okay, even though they didn't win the game. So they are elite, absolutely, but not the best.
Well, speaking of Freo, Daisy Thomas, Fremantle expose themselves to close losses by not scoring enough when on top.
That's fair dinkum. You've got to have your moments in the game, and when you do, you've got to make the most of them and put some score on the board. No doubt they'll be looking forward to not playing at Adelaide Oval for a very long time.
Damo, at his best, Jeremy Cameron is still the most damaging player in footy.
Absolutely fair dinkum. Massive on this. And the 6 goals he kicked against North Melbourne, he's had tougher training sessions than what he had to endure in that particular game. He could have kicked 13 if he wanted to. He got injured last year when he got knocked out by, I think it was Zach Tui, wasn't it?
Gary Rowan.
Teammate. And obviously he got a concussion element out of that, but it was a shoulder damage that I think then affected the rest of his year. From what I can tell, he's not affected injury-wise right now, and I think he is, Rabsy, feeding him.
Joey, Jesse Hogan, traded for pick 54, which the Giants got for trading Zach Langdon to West Coast, is the best value trade in recent memory.
Recent memory, glad you changed that, because of all times, a hard one. Yeah. Recent memory, no, that's fair dinkum. That's been an elite pick-up by the GWS Giants. To be fair, you have to remember Jesse Hogan was damaged goods when they got him. It didn't work out at Melbourne. Fremantle was a complete disaster. So well done for him, first of all, to turn his career around and be in career-best form the last 18 months. And well done for the Giants for giving him a chance. It just goes to show sometimes, you know, you've just got to give people more opportunity and they'll shine through.
Daisy Thomas, if you wrote Richmond's injury list into a comedy script, it'd be rejected for being over the top.
it's fair. If you put their injury list as their current playing list to come out this weekend, you'd probably be tipping them more likely than not. They are unfortunately struck down and they've been competitive, but to their own detriment at times. They've come out of every game with a handful of injuries to the biggest names. It's really unfortunate. I do like the fact they continue to punch on as a football club, but that injury list is, that's fair dinkum. That is not good at all.
Okay, Damo, don't count Richmond out of the wooden spoon race.
Unfortunately, it is fair dinkum for Adam Musa in his first year. I mean, Hawthorn's going to give him a good run, and North Melbourne, we know, is already probably Pride of Journey out in front in that race. But it's not a gimme. Yeah, they're going to struggle to win from here for obvious reasons, and Daisy just outlined that.
I mean, what a run by Pride of Journey, by the way. Good. Oh, 30 leaps ahead. Oh, unbelievable. Joey, Jake Stringer in a contract year is the best player in footy.
Fugazi, well, Sherrod Wellingham.
Yeah, Fugazi, Jason
Daniel
Green.
Wells.
Yeah, Jason Green is very good at that too. It's true though. There are absolutely players you should give a one-year contract to and let them play for their careers and play for a better contract, because some players, unfortunately, Damo, we all think everyone's got the same motivation levels and the same desire, but it fluctuates for everyone. And there are some that need to have a bit of a carrot dangled in front of them to get the best out of them.
Damo, they've had some close wins and a big win against North Melbourne and then a loss to Adelaide. Carlton aren't as good as what we thought.
That's a good one, Rabsy. I want to go for Ghazi because they've proven they can work through their adversity, but their injury toll is mounting, which is where I now will focus on Carlton. Andrew Russell's got as much pressure on him as I think as any person in footy with that soft tissue spate of damage now. Saad, McGovern last week, Chera before the game, Martin already done in a soft tissue way, Motlop. So, yeah, question marks, but I'm going to say for Ghazi.
I think we spoke about this last week, Joey, that you can't continue to let sides hang around. Mm. The Collingwood example was the anomaly over the past couple of seasons. But for the Blues, if you're winning games by 5, 6, 7 points consistently,
eventually
you're going to start getting stung. And we saw that on the weekend.
Yep.
Joey, Jake Waterman will single-handedly undermine West Coast priority pick bid if he maintains his transformation into Wayne Carey.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's for Ghazi because it won't be him. It'll be off the back of their midfield that allows people like Jake Waterman to get on the end of some work because the Elliot Yeo, Harley Reid, Tim Kelly combination at the moment is absolutely humming. Ooh. Like, we're talking their clearance numbers top four in the competition over the last 3 weeks. So Jake Waterman will continue to get on the end of their good work if they keep playing that way.
You know, it's a shame that Elliot Yeo hasn't had a good run of it throughout his career with injury because he has been one of the most damaging midfielders, has different attributes to a lot of players, and now we're starting to see that again at the back end of his career.
Finally, Damo, the AFL took extra time to elevate Chief to legend status because they had to wait for a cooling off period after this incident.
This is exactly what Channel 10 do. This is sensationalism. Oh, you're talking shit is what you're doing right
now. Don't swear on air.
You're talking shit.
Don't swear on air. You're better than that.
No, you shut up and listen instead
of
talking shit.
Don't speak to me like that.
Well, then I won't talk to you.
Get out of the box.
Will do.
I will not work with someone like that. Get out of the box right now. Go on, nick off. Just throwing a whole tray of food on me.
A whole tray.
Nick off. I'm not working with those.
Shut up.
Get out.
Every time you listen back to that, you hear something different.
Fried rice gate.
Will do. Yeah, that's a bit I like at the moment. No, for Ghazi, Ramsey, there's a few issues with character around AFL people at the moment, but not with Chief.
No, not with Chief at all. We'll get you around. I apologise to Q.
That's brilliant.
I threw a bit of rice.
Yeah, lucky BT didn't cop some rice.
Porter's put the rice emoji in his tweet. Congratulating you, Chief.
He did.
We'll get you around six predictions next. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
Huge round six. Every single game looks like an absolute bumper one and it kicks off tomorrow night. St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs, Joey Montagna.
Massive game. Massive fallout, I think, for the loser to go 2-4 and both teams then go on the road next week, I think over to Fremantle and over to Port Adelaide. So it's a massive game. I'm going to lean towards St Kilda, just have a bit more faith in Ross Lyon. Max King probably won't play at this stage, but they showed in the last quarter against the Giants, they kicked 7 goals without Max King in that forward line. So maybe they can find a way to win. Looking forward to it.
I want to go with the Saints too. I just feel they're going better than the Bulldogs, as weird as that sounds, given they've both got the same scoreline and are both not winning matches they wanted to win, but Saints for me.
Tune in early. Listen to the Thursday rub.
Yep.
Very, very good that's been so far. So we'll be doing that. Offense v defense in this one for me. Western Bulldogs will be trying to kick the biggest score and St Kilda will be trying just to not let them do that. I think Ross can bore the Western Bulldogs out of the game if he's going to try and do that. However, I am going to tip the Bulldogs. I think they've just got a bit too much firepower going forward.
Thursday rub kicks off at 6 p.m. with Jack Everon, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith and Jay-Z Clark. Friday night.
Can you have a chat to Isaac? He's going to cost himself all the sporties he does from here on out. He's using all his good material. You've got to tell him just to save a few.
He's been unbelievable. Adelaide versus Essendon. Friday night at Adelaide Oval. The Crows got their first win on the board and Essendon looked pretty decent, Damo.
They did. And it's an interesting game, this one. As you said before, Rabsy, all eight games are magnificently storylined. And this one is the two teams that went into last week's game under the pressure of what they've been delivering to that point of the season. So I'm keen to see which one comes out of it with a new standard and a new benchmark. And I feel it's going to be Adelaide, but I don't have confidence in that tip.
I'll be tipping Adelaide. I think that Essendon win wasn't as good as it seemed. The Western Bulldogs second half, really inaccurate. 9 goals, 13 to 3 goals, 7. That seems like I've buggered that stat up. But something along those lines, they weren't as good as it actually looked on paper by bad kicking. I think Adelaide, that'll be the confidence they need. Sometimes you just need to get the monkey off the back, find a way to win. Tex was very impressive. They took 18 marks inside forward 50, which is off the charts. If they do that again, they win comfortably.
Yeah, got no idea. Two teams I can't get a handle on. If Essendon want to play a shootout against Adelaide, they'll absolutely get beat. Right. If they can lock it down and make it a bit more of a scrap, they give themselves a chance.
Adelaide kicked 16-4 last week, which is extraordinary accuracy.
Yep.
Daisy, one of your old teams, Collingwood, takes on Port Adelaide. The Pies are fresh off the bye.
Slightly nervous. The Pies are going to have to be going better than they were coming into that bye to take it up to Port Adelaide, who is currently humming. I said I was getting very close to chips in on them, and it's starting to look more and more likely that that'll be the case. I like what they're doing. Their midfield's going from strength to strength, as we said. Their forward line's starting to function, and the additions of Zerk Thatcher and Radigalia have been the reason why they continue to be really good defensively in an area last year where they were poor. I'm sorry, Collingwood fans, but I'm going to tip Port.
Oh, you were bullish on the Pies before the bye. You weren't jumping off them.
I thought you were about to say Collingwood too, you built that up.
Yeah, fresh off the bye. I'm scared.
Yeah, Port ticking all the boxes, aren't they? Midfield flying, got a forward line functioning and a defence that is improved on last year. So hard to go past Port, but I'm fascinated to see Collingwood off the bye, whether they find their best or whether this is just going to be a year where they've dropped away after winning the flag.
Pies for me, Rebsy. Mm-hmm. I don't have faith in them at the moment, but I just feel they're too good to be continually showing what they've shown to this point of the season. And while Port was great last week, and I love what they did, kicking the last two goals of the game, they were two goals down against Fremantle, who had only 9 goals on their score at that point. So, yeah, Collingwood.
Carlton versus GWS Giants, Joey. Both of these teams have injury. Of course, Sam Taylor won't be playing for the Giants.
Yeah, you look at Carlton, you think no Saad, no McGovern, no Chera, massive outs. And then you look at the Giants. Cornelio, who's flying. Cornelio's in unbelievable form. And Sam Taylor, the best defender in the competition.
Coming up against Curnow and McCoy.
That evens
as well.
It out. This is going to be, I think this will be another close game. Oh, I've got a feeling, I think 8 of their last 11, Carlton have been decided by 10 points or less. They've won 7 of them. They lost last week. I can see them losing another close one. Giants by under 10 points.
Again, really concerned as to what the Blues are going to produce. They weren't good enough on the weekend. GWS, you just can't look past their form. 5-0, the Orange Tsunami. They're speaking about next man in now when somebody goes down. Taylor's going to be the massive out. If McKay and Curnow combine for 10, it's game over. Not so confident that happens. GWS in a thriller.
I'm just going on the Sam Taylor absence here as being the reason I tip Carlton. I know you can cover, and I know there's system defence, and GWS plays that whole system game really, really well. But, Carlton for me.
Damo, in a bump around, this next game could be match of the round. Brisbane, who are back in form, up against the Cats at the Gabba.
I'm going to stick with the Cats. I know they're going to be rank outsiders in this, but I've got no reason, Joey, to jump off the juggernaut that I felt they were going to be, and I'm just going to keep riding them until I've got reason not to. So I like them. I mean, their quality of opponent compared with Brisbane is less, there's no doubt, but they are just so well drilled.
You know, I'm with you on the Cats all year, but not in this game. I think Brisbane are my certainty. I think they've already lost two at the Gabba. I don't see them losing 3 at the Gabba. I think they've got their form and confidence back. I think they win this game.
Well, I haven't seen enough from Brisbane to tip them with confidence, and the Cats have.
You didn't see the game against Melbourne?
I did. I watched it, but that's one game. That's the anomaly so far of their season. The rest of it's been pretty poor. Geelong, you can't have been more impressive. 5-0. We'll be sticking with the Cats.
The Derby on Saturday night. West Coast now have a win on the board going up against Fremantle, Dace.
Resume normal programming if you are West Coast. You get smacked. Fremantle, my certainty.
Gee, I just wonder how far they can go, Damo, with a bit of momentum and a bit of confidence and belief. I mean,
a brick wall fast.
Could they do it again? Why could they not do it again? I'll tip Fremantle. Fremantle should win and be spewing if they don't. But West Coast, I don't know. They might be plucky in this.
I'm going to do the same. I'm going to tip Fremantle, but I'm not confident in the tip. And when you say smack, they've only kicked 9 goals in each of the past 3 games for 2 losses.
And they come up against the side. If this was last week, we would have been tipping Fremantle.
Do they play foot on the throat style footy, Fremantle, though? Like, are they going to kick 15, 20 goals
against
West Coast?
You
work
there.
I don't work in the football department.
But they have offense is something they need to work on. And what better time to try some things and to have a real red hot go against a side that can give up a score really quickly?
Sydney versus Gold Coast, Damo. This, again, is a big game.
It is.
On Sunday.
It is. Look, I need to see more from Gold Coast. I like what they're doing, don't get me wrong, but with the Sydney Swans being the way they are and so well drilled, and look, they'll be ready. They had the week off. They'll be right in my eyes, so Swans.
I'm still iffy on Sydney. I'm just not exactly, they've lost to Richmond and they just beat West Coast their last 2 games, Daisy. I'm not convinced on them yet, and I'll tell you what, if Gold Coast win, You watch the narrative change about the Suns next week. Mm. Everyone will start talking about them as a genuine finals contender. I'll lean towards Sydney, but no confidence at all in this one.
Sydney, pride of Jenny like for the second reference.
Wow. Finally rounding out the round six fixture is North Melbourne versus Hawthorne.
This is massive.
We're going to be there for the Sunday rub and then calling that game. Joey's jumping out. He's not going to be there for that game for us, but how are you seeing that play?
This is the third time I'm going to see North live. Do we have like a counselling department here? Do we have like glasses for the eclipse? Look, it intrigues me, the game. I don't think it's going to reach any great heights. But the good thing is there should be a winner. I think it will be Hawthorn.
I'm giving North Melbourne a chance. Yeah. I think their midfield is better at the moment, to be fair. They're
not
playing well.
Can they put Sheasel in there? If they put Sheasel in there.
But they can't because they need someone to kick the ball out of the back half.
Well, win it in the midfield and play it in your forward half instead of putting everyone behind. Like, it's almost for me, they've got all this midfield talent, but they're spreading them out all over the field that they're not strong in any area. I'd rather see them stack around their midfield, get all the guns around the footy and see what they can do. I'm giving them a chance. I think they'll win this.
Hawthorn, as badly as they're going.
Jeez, you just hate your football side.
No, I don't. I actually don't. I need to correct that theory that's out there. I don't. They're just terrible, and Hawthorn will win.
All right, give us your certainties and your surprise for the round six fixture.
Certainties.
My certainty, Brisbane Lions. Mm-hmm. I'm going out on a limb. The other two boys have tipped Geelong, and I'm going North Melbourne as my outsider this week.
Certainty will be Fremantle, even though it's not a confident tip. Mm-hmm. And my outsider, clearly with my selection of the Cats to beat Brisbane.
My certainty, Freo, and the outsider is the Pies.
Well, you can catch every game on the Listener app and on Triple M starting tomorrow night. St Kilda versus the Dogs following the Thursday rub. Jack Everon, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith and Jay-Z Clark from 6 p.m. Eastern. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.
For BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.